This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's some of the favorite times at my job, right? It's just like, you got a friend in town or something, taking over a concert, just like, oh yeah, hey, by the way, we're going to hop on stage and do the stage announcement. You know, it's like flexing on people.
Dude, when I play golf there, that's what I think about. I'm like, this is a stager at White River of the golf world, where you're just like, what the fuck is going on? How did I do this?
Yeah, right?
Then you got to sink that putt, dude. You got to get that crowd hyped. You got to deliver when you're there.
Just do me a favor. If you ever see Fat Perez, get a picture for me.
You know it, man. On the lookout.
All right, you guys ready to rock?
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to a brand new episode of the podcast. Some of the hosts of your podcast. Greatest podcast at all, or the Ted Smith, greatest podcast at all land.
All the land.
Man, it's going to be a rough one today, boys. All right, down there in the bottom square, feeling a little under the weather. You got something with Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Dude, you threw me with the rough one. There's about a million jokes running through my head, but yeah, it could be tough. My internet's not amazing. You know, we'll see how it goes. Sometimes our tough ones are our best ones.
It is. I just couldn't speak all day today on the men's room either. I was just like, come on.
I need this, please.
Right. Up there, the top square. He's, you know, he's still in a tank top, but he's a little chilly because he lives in the desert. Matt, comma, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Man, I just want to let you both know, because, like, we do these over Zoom. We're just BSing beforehand. Sometimes that's, like, stretches of silence as we're messing around. It's not always the smoothest intros, but when we put that music underneath, these things sound badass. Like, by the time this gets to our listeners, it sounds way better. Most of that is not me. That's our boy Taz. Shout out Taz. Yeah, but it does sound better. When I put it back, I'm like, dude, that really helps us out sometimes.
Dude, it's funny. Right? We've been doing this podcast forever. And then I did the Megacast for a long time with Migsy. But the other day, like, Castle comes in. He's like, hey, man, I got a question for you about the Megacast. And I'm like, what's that? And he's like, we got flagged by some company, you know, somebody, because we were using songs. And I'm like, that doesn't seem like Migs or I to be like, screw the rules. Part of the reason I'm bringing this up is because we've always been very careful about the cursing and this and that. So nothing wrong with the podcast, right? Through the however many 100,000 episodes we have. But yeah, they came to me today and it was like, one was flagged from 2018. And I'm like, Jesus, man. Like, all right, I'll just go delete that episode right now. But shout out to everybody that stuck around with us while we followed the rules. How many times we answered, why do you beep out stuff?
Yeah. The amount of times I've re-uploaded it when someone emails or tweets, like, you missed one. All right. Well, back in there.
Yeah, I know, dude. Today when I saw that email, it's like, on it, like, that's it. And I'm like, well, the rule we broke, I didn't even know was a rule then. So yeah. Like, not gonna feel bad about that one. But yeah, I just think that's funny, as we've always been very, very diligent about it. First of all, before we get into college football stuff, I just want to say, Matt, I don't know if you'll care as much. I know Cobb will enjoy this because he's you're a little bit of a food nerd for certain types of things. around the corner from my house, there is a new taco stand that pops up on the sidewalk starting at like maybe like 7:30, right? I mean, since the first night, there is a line out there, like a good line. Like, maybe it starts at 7, because like I just drove by it on the way home and there's people like lined up waiting for it to open. A, I'm pumped because I'm like, they got to be good. But it's such a cross section of people, right? There's like obviously Mexicans waiting in line. There's a lot of white people. There's like Asian people. I'm like, I got to walk over there one of these nights and see what the name of this stand is, because I figure it has to be like an established stand already. And this is like their new location or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were about to say, is it an established stand? Do we know the name?
Yeah.
I don't know the name. Every time I drive by it, I'm like, I should look that up.
Wait, so is this like a, it's like a food truck or like somebody in a tent, or what's the setup?
Giant blue tarp, steam, like smoke and steam coming off it, and two Jennies.
Oh, so just ghetto, literally just set up shop. Let's rock and roll.
Love it.
But it's, wow. I can't get over, because even like my buddy Phil, like last week, he's like, what's up with this thing? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know. It just showed up. But since the night it showed up on like a weeknight, I go, no kidding. I bet every time I drive by, even if you drive by at 9:30, there's always at least 15 to 20 people lined up for these tacos.
15 to 20? Oh, my
15
God.
15 to 20.
Get in there.
I know. I honestly, I might just walk over there after we're done tonight.
Yeah. What are you doing?
So
also, Tuesday night's a good night, you know?
Tuesday, man.
Right. Well, then I thought I was like, man, Cobb is going to be like, how have you not gone yet? It's right there. And I'm like, I don't know. I drive by and I'm like, huh, I should go over there.
Seriously. I'm like, yesterday was what, Mexico Independence Day? I mean, if now's the time.
We have a few of those down here, actually closer by your place, Cobb. They kind of pop up, and like, I just learned about them from different coworkers. They don't even have websites. They're literally like just like pop-up stands that have an Instagram account with all this delicious looking meat. And, you know, they just kind of show up, set it up, tear it down, and, you know, slang tacos for a few hours. But you have to follow them on Instagram to know where they're going to be. And like, but if you drive by one and you don't know that they're on Instagram, it just looks like a random little tent with, you know, a huge line of people. You're like, that must be good, but how do all these people know this? Like, I think one of them has like 10,000 people on Instagram, but if they don't have signs on their tent when you drive by.
You're exactly right. That was the only thing I figured out so far. I'm like, I was telling Phil, I was like, it's gotta be almost an established like brand or truck, and they've gotta be on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm saying. The cross section of people out there, it doesn't make any sense. There's not like one group where you're like, oh, okay. It's like these people obviously heard this thing was opening up here and came up here ASAP.
Tacos are universal.
Dude, I love that. Just bringing all the ethnicities of Instagrammers together under a blue tarp. God bless America. That's awesome.
It is kind of awesome to me, right? I'm like, look, you're right. I told you, one of my favorite This Is America stories is years ago, me and a girl I'm dating, we're out in Leavenworth, right? And it's like, I don't know. They used to have like something called Winterfest, right? So kind of in that like dead period of January, right? It's like late January. There's only a few football games left. College football's over. But they're like, it's like, they're going to have fireworks on Sunday night of this holiday weekend. It must have been MLK weekend, right? Because that's like the first Monday off. But anyhow, that Saturday, we're sitting out there. We're in Leavenworth. And like the streets are packed. There's people with Huskies walking around. And a horse-drawn carriage walks by with a family I'm assuming is Indian descent, right? And I just look at her. I go, we're a fake German town in America. It's already kind of like Disney World like. And I go, and there's a family who I think is legit from India riding by in a horse-drawn carriage. I'm like, this is what it should be. This is the great stuff about America, man.
Yeah, it's just a mashup of all the cultures. Dude, I always think that with like fusion food, you know, they're like, oh, it's Korean Italian fusion, and it's like, what? Like, do we just invent a new genre? Or like the crow nut? You know, it is a land of experimentation.
Yeah. And I remember when fusion came out, like a lot of the foodies that were pretty foo-foo were like, just pick one or the other. And I'm like, this is great. Like, yeah, like if you have a Mexican Japanese fusion restaurant, it's the best of both worlds, sushi and tacos.
Exactly. Pick one or the other. It's like, no, how about not? How about we get both at the same time?
Why don't we just roll up some pot stickers?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, exactly.
You know how many times?
Look,
it's the amount of times that it's come down to, do we get sushi or do we get tacos? Like,
exactly. Problem solved.
Yeah, I've run down that filtration triangle with the my girlfriend and been right at sushi or tacos. These places are like, come on down.
Yeah. Sushi, yeah. Yes. Sushi and tacos are part of the big four for me. The other two members, obviously, hamburgers and pizzas.
Yeah. Yeah, pizza's the top dog. I feel like with those, you know, Ted, like, look, the three guys on this cast, we might not be the best chefs, save Matt. He does cook a mean wing. But I feel like as far as like smoking weed and coming up with fusion ideas, we're your guys.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we could come up with some crazy new food items if we wanted to. You want to mix cultures together and make it taste good? Call us. Email us. Email at thepodcast.com.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. Fusion is basically the brainchild of like a stoner. Just yeah, like, I like dude, both totally. These things. Like, why don't we put them together? And it's like, or have both as options. Like, hell yeah.
Dude, did you ever see the late night munchie menu at Jack in the Box? Have you ever had a munchie box?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, I can almost guarantee you had.
So are we talking about, I think they've had additions with the mac and cheese bites, which I don't think are on the menu anymore. And I don't know if the mozzarella sticks are too, but they've had both of those on the late night menu at different points. And the two.
Well, yeah. And then for a while they were doing like they had like a bunch of stuff kind of like mixed into one. And it was kind of like fusion. It was like loaded nuggets with tacos and like,
oh yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. The munchie meals. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. They still have
just
versions
a box
of
shit, basically. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah. And it's literally the munchie meal.
Yeah.
Right. I remember years ago, Jack in a Box had a commercial where it's just like the guy's not smoking, but obviously he's a stoner. It's like, how many tacos do you want? It's like mini Jack is like 30. And he's like 30.
That's so ridiculous.
That was one of those like, wow, they really put me on a commercial right there. Like,
well, I told you a couple summers ago or whenever it was, had some family visit for a couple days because then they were hopping on an Alaskan cruise. So my Uncle Phil is just always been a fitness guy, right? Used to box, like still works. He's retired from the power company on Cape Cod, but still like is a trainer at a gym and this and that. So they come out, it's like they get here late, like 10 o'clock at night or whatever, and they're like, what could we order? And I'm like, well, and I'm living in Capitol Hill, I'm like, well, there's a lot of places. And then I was like, we could order Jack in the, he's like, can we get Jack in the Box? Because I guess way back in the 60s they were on the East Coast too. It's like he just wanted those $2 or two for a dollar shitty tacos.
Oh, good man. Those things still hit, man. Late night, I always throw a couple of those on me. They're the add-on. You know, you get your order and like throw in a couple of those dirty tacos.
Yeah. And Jack's not messing around, right? He's just like, look, I got a ton of stuff on this menu. It's 24/7. Like I've had some late nights where you show back up at your place at like 3 a.m. and it's like, I could use a breakfast, Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Jack's like, I know you're drunk. I know you're high. Like, get on in here. Right. Get some tacos.
Don't be afraid to mix it up.
Wait a second, aren't you a burger restaurant? It's like, not today, Junior. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, new taco stand. Maybe I'll walk over there. I just was like, God, would appreciate that. I mean, Matt would too. I just know me and you, you'd be like, you got to get over there, dude. Stop waiting.
Well, I like that you tied in the Jack in the Box commercial too there, actually. I think you had a little bit of something for everybody, Ted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe Jack in the Box is the original fusion restaurant.
Well, and boys, since I'm in Mexico, I tried to pull up the munchie menu and I went to Jack in Linnea, which is Jack in the Box in Spanish, apparently. So I think it's safe to say if they don't have a name for that blue tarp restaurant, they're kind of popping up in your neighborhood like a Jack in the Box. Maybe Jack and Linnea. Just something for them to think about.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Like, that is a really good one.
What, Dad, you're going to look it up? What are you going to look up? The blue tarp restaurant in my neighborhood name?
No, I'm looking up Jack in the Box. Build your own munchie meal. Pick between one of four different entrees, two sides, and a drink to create your munchie meal. We believe in the freedom of choice.
I was going to say, like, how do you Google a blue tarp with a Mexican dude standing underneath it selling tacos? That's awesome.
Jesus Christ,
Ted, you know, quick aside, I would love to see your Google history.
it is varied. You can see the top hits. The top hits are always going to be like Arsenal schedule, Maryland schedule, Seahawks schedule, Husky schedule.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I think just about anyone's search history honestly would you know, put them behind bars or at least make them a likely suspect at this point. Everyone's Google histories are just crazy.
Have you ever, I've shown you like the search button on my Instagram, right?
No.
So I think most people know this by now, but like when you hit search, right? Like it's an algorithm. So it's just giving you suggestions of like videos and stuff you watch or who you interact with. So mine's always the same thing. Kind of what's the term? Maybe a little thicker girl, you know, some big boobs. there's always some dude or some woman cooking something, generally some type of workout thing, and then you know, you get like some Shane Gillis mixed in there.
Oh yeah, of course.
Right. I mean, like I always show everybody, I go like, I don't care, but it's like, huh, 40-year-old dude or mid-40s dude, huh? Shocked.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, like, substitute in attractive college women and we've got the same feed, Ted. But you're the one going to the student section.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. I've gotten a lot of mileage out of you partying in the student section, by the way. I've told like five people that. They love it.
There's also a tag in the algorithm for hot golf chicks. I don't know where they come from. Paige Spiranak's the big one, but there's a whole army of them, and God bless America.
Yeah, they try to sneak in there, but it's mostly like Bob Does Sports or whatever the Barstool Golf one is. So like, yeah,
foreplay.
Paige sneaks in once in a while, but you're right. Like once I click on one, then it's like a plethora of different ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that algorithm does turn on you pretty quick.
Oh my god!
One errant click, and you're it's looking bad.
Yeah, and sometimes it just thinks like you're into something because you're into one thing. It's like like there's some comedians I really like that I don't agree with all their politics, but since I watch their videos, it's just like you should watch this guy. I'm like, no, that's too political for my taste.
Yeah, I can't really handle Milo Yiannopoulos at this point, dude. Just speaking of that whole thing, like at one point my wife went on my Instagram for something I can't remember. She's like, is this just all hot chicks? And I was like, I clicked on one photo. It's feeding me that now, you know. It is hilarious how it turns on you. And then like you're saying, if you go like golf, then all of a sudden like it's all golf or like weights or whatever. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
it's just like it's overclocked, you know what I mean? It over indexes.
Dude, yeah. If that ever happens again, be like, yeah, it must have been because they noticed that I tagged you in all my posts.
Wow. Oh, wow. He is good.
He's got hands. I mean, I've figured some stuff out as a house cat.
Matt, that is damn good, dude.
That's I like that. That's like verbal jujitsu right there. That's what I've been saying, man. I feel like your Zen life in the desert just is paying like pearls of wisdom.
Thank you, man. I'm trying out here.
Oh, dude, Ted and I don't have the stillness in our life to like contemplate the deeps. Like, that's perfect. You got dude, golf, Zen, like flow. Sorry, Ted, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say that's a perfect way to put it. We lack the stillness.
in a good way that you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ted, you definitely lack the stillness.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, me too, brother. Me too.
Yeah. I just I hope it can help someone else out there, because I think those situations are increasingly common these days.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's unbelievable. I do have to mention, congrats to the Cougs. They beat the Huskies in the Apple Cup this year. Fun day. Everybody was pumped up. A little weird at the stadium. Didn't feel the same like intensity, but I don't know. It was at the Seahawks stadium. I mean, it wasn't sold out. I think also it's earlier in the year. Like, it's also hard for Husky fans. We're just coming off. Everybody's coming off that high of being in the Natty, and like the Cougs were ready to play.
Yeah, they were. And God, their quarterback can run, can't he? Jesus. I thought it was weird that they did the neutral site this year. I would have preferred UW Stadium, to be honest, but, you know, greatest setting. But God, yeah, the Cougars played well. Huskies played well too, but man, you know, I don't know about that, what's it called? Like the QB option at the end. And God, who's the Cougar quarterback? That guy can freaking run.
Yeah. He's been on fire.
He torched us a couple. I mean, their whole plan was like keep him in the pocket, and he torched us a couple times bad.
Yeah, and it's basically a whole new squad from last year too.
Yeah, I mean, he can move. I mean, big athletic guy. I was impressed. And you know, I've come to now like the Dogs and the Cougs, except when they play each other. So, you know, nice win out of the Cougs, but would have preferred to see the Dogs thrive.
I mean, I think in most full honesty, I even said this on the men's room last Friday. I feel like that's kind of how it works, is that most of the Huskies I know don't really have some deep hatred of the Cougs. Now, they do for Oregon.
Right? Yeah.
But like the Cougs are still like, F- you Huskies.
Yeah. Honestly, it's kind of like Boston and New York. You know, everyone in Boston thinks New York is their rivals, and everyone in New York doesn't think about Boston at all.
Yeah, and like I was talking to Taryn today, and I even told her, I go, I don't know what's going on in Pullman, but I don't know. It's just those all the girls in the Pullman sweatshirts, they're almost all blondes. I'm just like, what's in the water over there? Something's working.
Yeah, those are like, I'm not going to say anything else, but I'm with you.
I mean,
Ted, your Instagram feed is just going to be maroon now. Crimson.
Carl, have you made jokes about like Ted and Cougar women, like from the school, not like older women, but it just Wazoo's just got your name written all over it, Ted?
Yeah, that's Ted's demo, no question. Yeah.
Well, and I've said it before, right? Like I've dated both. Like the Cougs girls were always a little more fun and
more fun.
Yeah, they're like, right, and they, like it's Husky, like it's fine, but like those Coug girls like to party.
Yeah.
Can I just, we used to talk about Decepticons, which I always associated as like, you know, the Bellevues, you know, like, but more the tryhards than like the actual dime pieces. But I was talking to a guy in the gym the other day, and he's younger, he's like in his 20s, and some hot ass girl came in with him, and he's like, oh, you're from Seattle, right? She's from Bellevue over there. And I was like, well, she is, bro.
Could have told you that.
I think the other difference is like, right, like I've met a ton of people, right? I've been doing radio here for 20 years. And a lot of people are not from Seattle or Bellevue, right? They're from smaller towns or whatever. I just always feel, and granted, this could have just been the small sample size of girls I've dated, but it seemed like the Husky women wanted to always be like, no, I'm from Seattle now. Whereas like the Coug girl, like they're super proud of those small towns.
Yeah, definitely. More country bumpkin vibes.
Home yeah, and zone. I forgot. I went to one of my buddy's bars, and like me and my friend walked in just dripped in purple, and he was like, what are you doing in here today? I was like, what? And he's like, it's fine, but this is a Coug bar. You know that. I was like, oh, all right.
I did not.
Like, yeah, all right, my bad. He was like, look around. And I was like, yeah, man, hi. You know what? I was really just coming in to say hi.
Like, now that you say it. Yeah.
Right. Now it is awkward.
It's like that record scratch moment. You're like, a lot of people in Cougar gear in here. That's awesome. What's your buddy's bar? You don't have to say it if you don't want to, but
oh, King curious. Street.
Oh yeah, nice, dude.
Yeah,
King Street's legit. Yeah. That place is fun.
And then real quick, I'm going to a reception this weekend out by Mount Baker. The invitation says casual. And then underneath it, it says, don't worry, because they're having like the wedding the night before. And then it said, honestly, it would say like, don't worry about being like, it's casual. We'll be in our comfy clothes. So I'm like, is this still jeans and a button up atmosphere? Or is this just like, I can just show up in like, I don't know, sweats, cool sweats.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say to be safe, I always go like a half notch or a notch above what they say. Like for it, to give you, for instance, obviously we've been traveling in Mexico for 6 weeks. They said formal. I brought a tuxedo. And now, now, so rumors were swirling. Everyone's like, oh, you're bringing a tux to Mexico? That's crazy. And those people are just obviously my wife. And now I talk to the groom and he's like, yeah, it's tuxedos. It's black tie. And I'm like, who's looking like a savant genius now?
Formal's formal, baby.
Formal's formal. That's
There's
what I
no
said.
Upper
Thank
limit
you,
to formal.
Thank you, Mateus.
Semi-formal is like the grayest area.
Yeah, totally. And so, Ted, I would say whatever you're thinking, and then just a half notch up so you know you're at least not underdressed. It's okay to be slightly over, you know? That'd be my take, but, you know, what are your guys' thoughts?
I was going to say, my initial thought was still jeans and a button-up. Kind of like what I wore, what I threw on like after the Dead show. And like our one mutual friend who was doing the wedding was like, yeah, man, that'll be fine. And then I talked to another really good friend of yours, Cobb. He texted me back today, might be about this tall with a accent. Yep. And he was like, I'm wearing sweats.
I was like, oh, damn. I would wear sweats in a tank top for sure. Similar to formal, comfy is similarly like, all bets are off, dude. Go for it. But you want it to be fresh. You know what I mean? I'm not going to wear my ratty oldest pairs of sweats that I always freeballing around the house. You know, like nice.
Yeah, you got to wear like good, clean sweats that are tapered on, you know, on the bottom and stuff, right? It's got to be like a look.
Yeah, for sure.
Fresh shoes. Ted, I would like to feather in one more thing, which is as a professional entertainer, I do feel like it's nice to radiate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not
just
wrong.
A little extra step for you. Like it is your, you know, I don't know, do what you want, but I like when you're just radiating just a slight step above. I think it works well for you.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's probably what I'm going to do. Either button up, or I've recently acquired from a buddy. He was like, I got this, but I can't wear it. He's just a little loose on him. And it's like a sweater that's almost like a golf shirt. That makes sense.
Oh yeah.
But it's got like a little collar, but it's short sleeve. I was like, I was like, when he gave it to me a couple weeks ago, I was like, it looks cool. I don't know where I'm going to wear this, but that could be the move this weekend.
Ooh, I like it.
Also, look, I could be wrong, but, you know, the guy, the reception, you know, I've known that family for 14 years now, and they're a little fancy out in West Seattle. So, you know.
Right. That's the other issue. He put in, we'll be in our comfy clothes. Like, I don't know what you and your new wife's level of comfort is. Like,
I don't know what you wear on your yacht.
Right. If it's us three, I feel like we all know if I said, seriously, chill, comfy clothes. It's like, right, sweats and a tank top.
Yeah, what we're all wearing right now. Matt's literally wearing sweats and a tank top.
Basketball shorts, dude. It's not that cold down here.
I can't see. It's all black.
Yeah, I was trying.
What about just rock my jorts?
Yeah. Why not, dude? Just
just embrace it.
Exactly. Let's light that firework.
All right, we'll take a break right here, and then we'll come back with some emails. What's Madden in the Cop topic? All right, welcome back. Thank you to all our sponsors, and we appreciate everything about you. Now, Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
We do. First subject line: sorority girls.
All right.
What's good, guys? This is not Cobb topic related, but more of a little flex. You guys were talking about college girls at football games, and I had to tell you, I'm the executive chef for a sorority. This is my first year doing it, and holy cow, dream job. I've been a listener since...
That's pretty good.
I was like, dude, I love also, too. It's like, I love this guy. That's like the stereotype of every, like, just like greasy chef, you know, like always checking out the women, flirting. I love it. This is my first year doing it. Holy cow. Dream job. I've been a listener since the beginning, and I appreciate all that you guys do. LARP on, mother fellas.
Dude, it's funny. I follow a guy on Instagram who's one of those chefs for a sorority. Like, he's a little bit, right? He's probably got to be, if I'm 43, he's got to be like late 50s, almost 60. But that's what he does. It's just him being like, all right, here's what I'm making tonight for dinner at the house.
Dude, that's awesome. And he like posts it?
Yeah.
That's a lot of extra work. Good for him.
It is. But I always wonder, too, is like sometimes when he's making stuff, I'm like, and not to be stereotypical, but I'm like, I wonder if all the chicks are going to eat that. And then I'll always be like, eh, and I'm making this option because some people are particular about their food. Like, he was just making like sheet pan pizza one night or one afternoon. And I was like, yeah, you better get some without meat on it. And I was like, you better get some. And I was like, you better mix in a salad. It's not, that's not a bunch of like 19-year-old bros who are just like, hell yeah, man. Thanks, dude.
I have been that bro. What's up?
I flagged when he said mother fellows, even though it didn't swear, just because I want to go back and listen to that email again. That was one of the best of all time.
That was great, dude. Just short, sweet, and to the point. I know. That was just, yeah, that was good. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I don't know if this is ridiculous. When my work is caught up at my job, I will try to think of a band who I'm a fan of with a large catalog and write an imaginary set list out of boredom. My only criteria is that I include songs that are rarely played and add them in. For example, the one I work on the most is Metallica. In every fantasy set list, I will always add a 2x4. That song has not been played in over 25 years. If I were ever to meet the band, also, if I have a spare $4,000 to get the best seat and get the ultimate experience, I would show them these fake set lists and ask their thoughts. Would they play the song I requested? I don't know. Also, I need some advice. There's this reporter named Penny Kamet who showed up on my Instagram feed, and I started following her. She works in Boston at the CBS affiliate. How do I go about asking for her autograph? Do I ask her on Instagram? Do I send a self-addressed stamped envelope and ask her that way? I need some input. Ted, I feel like you're the expert here.
You just want to, I mean, he's just asking for an autograph?
That's right.
I mean, I would either send her an email or follow her on some social media and send a message. Because, I mean, like, that's pretty easy to do. Like, we get emails all the time at work about it. And Mike will just come over and be like, can you sign this? I'm like, yeah, sure.
All right. So sounds like Instagram's the move.
Yeah. I mean, you could always look to see, like, you know, is she hosting some event or something? But I don't know. Then you got to buy a ticket to the event and this and that. And you don't want to just like track her down at a, like a BC game with her, with her family. I say send a message. Just be, you know, just like, hey, I just want an autograph. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. And if you want to cover the postage, you could ask for her Venmo and see what she says. Would you give your Venmo to a listener, Ted?
Yeah, sure.
I can't do anything but send you money or ask you for money. So, yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't. Just be right, hilarious to Venmo or 45 cents or whatever it is.
You know how much a stamp is right now, dude?
What?
How much?
I got to look it back up. I think it's like 71 cents.
Whoa, I thought
close
to the 40s there.
Bros, that feels, I don't know why, but I feel assaulted by that.
What did I say?
That just 46? Feels crazy. I don't know. I thought they were like 21.
Dude, back in the 90s.
Well, also, the funny piece of this is like we're doing thank you cards for our wedding right now, and there's like 100 stamps downstairs, and I thought they were trash, but turns out they're gold.
Yeah, for real.
I should probably pay her back. Hope to see you guys again someday. Stevie the Packers fan. P.S. I have added a picture of the girl in question. Thank you. Although I could not figure out how to crop the picture. No problem. I'm on it. Give me a
73 cents, boys.
I know that's very little money, but that feels ludicrous.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I'm not going to say her name, but
Stevie Ray. You already did, bro.
I said her name?
Yeah, you read it in the email. I mean, she's a public personality, but yeah.
Well, then yeah, in that case, if anyone wants to look up Penny Commit, you enjoy. K-A-M-I-T-T.
And just so you know,
M-I-T-T, sorry.
We talked about the algorithm earlier today. If you look up even your local newscasters, you will just get peppered with newscasters from other cities.
Yeah, be careful with that search algorithm, boys. That's what I'm saying out there. Be careful what you wish for, I guess, you know?
And Stevie's right. I think there's like 5 or 6 songs that Metallica just doesn't play in concert. I know that's one of them. Like, it would take a deep dive to figure out why or whatever, but they just don't play them.
The strangest thing I did in a moment of boredom. Sorry. Greetings, gentlemen and Ted. I'm a first-time emailer to this show and have only started listening since last year. Despite the fact that I've been a regular participant in the men's room show since 2015, but that's beside the point. I think the strangest thing I did in a moment of boredom was take my CB and ham radio and just utter the most offensive things I can think of regarding Democrats and Republicans, just to see who would take the bait. I didn't get any responses on my ham radio, but on my CB radio, I had insults being hurled back at me within seconds. One of the funniest things someone replied with was, Matt, you ready to bleep it?
Sure.
Hey, shut the fuck up, whoever you are, or I'm we'll figure out a way to make you vomit my turd. Hope that answers the question you asked. Anyway, hope you guys are enjoying your day, and if you're not, then watch George Carlin, Bill Burr, and Ricky Gervais stand-up comedy to feel better. Alex the Furry.
Bill Burr shows up in my algorithm a lot.
P.S. Ted, I've finally decided to get a fursuit. Total cost was $8,000. Totally custom made from One for All Studios. That's awesome.
Wow. That's full
Alex,
commit, dude.
Full commit. Yeah. I respect anybody who goes all in. Straight up.
Yeah. And I feel like the furry community is getting a little more good pub these days. Like, there's some people that are showing up to sporting events just in their costumes.
Dude, I'll say this till the day I die. We at the Cobra Lounge, it was a hookah lounge that I owned up on Capitol Hill. We had a little private room in the back. Ted was a regular. And and people would host parties there. They would rent it out, whatever. The nicest group we ever hosted. They reached out months in advance. They were the sweetest people. They came in their suits, the furries. The furries were amazing. They were there during, I think it was either SakuraCon. It could have been, it was PAX, I think. And the best people, truly. So I stand up for the furries. I'm not a part of the community, but I respect how they operate. So Alex, good for you. That's impressive. Also, if you want two other good comedians, I've been watching a lot of Stavros Halkias. And then, of course, like Ted said, Shane Gillis.
Shout out to Matt. He was the first person who brought up Stravos to me.
Ronnie Raven's back, baby.
Yeah, Ronnie Raven has not been happy lately.
No. And oh, man, you and I could talk about that accent for hours. He nailed it. It's so funny. I only spent 6 months there, but like, God damn, he crushes it.
Yeah. And who, God damn it, who's the last two specials I watched? I can't think of his name. He's pretty big right now. He's been going on tour, like selling out arenas. And then he hangs out with another guy named Dusty Slay. That's pretty damn funny.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of Dusty Slay stuff. It is funny.
Yeah.
Ridiculous boredom. To the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
First, a little backstory. I'm a bit of an aviation geek and like the process of traveling as much as the actual destination itself. So airline status, while largely a bit of wank, is something I enjoy having. There are some perks, though, like boarding in group one, lounge access, and gate attendants welcoming you by your name. On to the most ridiculous thing I've ever done was actually during my first trip to Seattle, where I first found the men's room. I had a spare weekend and nothing really to do. So while I had just hit Qantas Gold status, there was that ever elusive Platinum status, some 700 status credits away. So I did what any sane person did. I booked a last minute trip in first class from Seattle to Dallas to Orlando to Miami to Panama City, sleep for 3 hours in an airport hotel, and then turn around and do the reverse to be back in Seattle by midnight Sunday evening, ready for work on Monday morning. Was it worth the money? Of course not. But would I do it again? Hell yeah, which I actually am. Melbourne to Sydney, Jakarta, Doha, JFK, spend a day and a half in New York City, then turn around and do the reverse. LARP on and go Terps. Aaron from Melbourne.
Oh, Aaron, that's ballsy, dude. Also, Aaron, we have an update. I have acquired some ukulele players. We're going to have some jam sessions.
Yes.
Nice. Well played.
Yep. That's funny. That was Aaron. At first, I thought it might be Ron over in Belfast. And I'd be like, dude, if you're going to Australia, reach out to Aaron.
As soon as I heard Qantas, I was like, got to be Aaron, right?
Yeah, right. Aaron, you'll also be happy to know I had a good friend of mine in town, and I annoyed him, one, with like talking about cricket and how cool it was. I have two cricket balls. And he's like, all right, Teddy, I get it. I was like, look, man, I'm kind of learning the uke. And then, like, right, we're sitting here, like, after we've been at the bars, he's like, you have no idea what you're doing with that thing yet. I'm like, stop. And then, like, the next night, he's like, I don't want to hear it again. I'm like, all right. We lived together for years in, like, Baltimore and Towson. So we're like an old married couple. Like, I got up one morning much later than he did. And he's like, it's my love language. Don't be mad. I kind of rearranged your spice racks and this and that. I was like, well, it looks gorgeous in here. Like, I already thought it was pretty good for my house, but it's like spotless.
That sounds like a great roommate. It's my love language to rearrange your spice rack. Nice.
Right. He's like, I put them over here so it'd be easier to get to when you're cooking. I'm like, all right.
I like what you did there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's be done with emails and check in with what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mattening,
hey, guys. What's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out what's mattening.
Hey, guys. What's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's mattening,
hey, guys. What's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out what's mattening.
Yeah. Excuse me. It was a big week. So last Wednesday marked 11 years without alcohol.
Oh, congrats. Wow.
Nice work, man. Nice. Yeah. Impressive.
Yeah, thank you. So I had planned for Slipknot was playing in LA this past weekend. And I was like, cool, the weekend of my 11th anniversary, we'll go see Slipknot that weekend. And then like a week and a half ago, we were watching the Linkin Park live stream. We love listening to the first two albums down here because it's like, you know, Cobb, everything's retro down here, right?
Yeah, and it's all mid-century modern.
Right, right. Compared to a mid-century modern aesthetic, new metal feels kind of groundbreaking. They listen to oldies, but I'm like, guys, these are oldies now. We can blast Hybrid Theory driving around. It's so fun.
It is a great album.
Yeah. Tyler sings the Chester's parts and I do Mike's parts. And it's like, it's a great duet thing. And then Linkin Park does, you know, their whole thing. And we're tuning into the mysterious live stream and they got a female singer now. And we're like, dude, we know the girls can do the Chester parts better than a dude. We've talked about this. So we're watching the live stream and being like, dude, this is tight. And then as it happens, they go into one of the songs from one of the later albums that I'm not that familiar with. I hop on my phone real quick, and it's like Linkin Park's announced 6 tour dates, including LA at the Forum on September 11th. And I was like, well,
wow,
I guess we're doing something day of now.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. The stars aligned and I signed up for the fan club, got the pre-sale, bought seats right when they went on, and got floor seats. And then, you know, we had to go back and forth that night. Like, we had to do an over and back to LA, and then we went back to LA for the weekend. We knew that, but like, had to be done. So then
how long's that drive?
So it depends on traffic is the honest answer. The way it went down Wednesday night was 3 hours there with traffic, 2 hours back without traffic. So, okay. Yeah, it should take 2 hours. A lot of times it's 2.5 is the answer. And if you're going on a weekday during rush hour, 3 is sensible. So, yeah, we got 3 and we made it just in time to see kind of the last couple songs of Grandson, who are really good, by the way. Like, I didn't realize how much I like Grandson until we checked him out before we went to the show, and I was like, oh, that's tight. But we couldn't make all their set because we're coming from the desert. So, but we got like kind of a feel for the layout. The stage was in the middle of the arena in the round, and we had floor seats. And so we just kind of surveyed. And then after Grandson, we went to one of the sides, and there was a little bit of railing space that we just went and stood right in front of. And, you know, lo and behold, to our sides were a couple of chill pacifists who weren't waiting for someone else to come back to their spot. There was no one in the bathroom or getting a beer. This became our spot on the railing. And it was surreal, man. Like, they came out, we're right there, like front row. But there's a lot of front row because of the layout, right? It's a huge stage in the middle of the forum. And yeah, they started with a bunch of bangers from the first two albums and the new song that they debuted with the new singer that we loved. And it was like, damn, dude, this is tight. And so we ended up staying, you know, at that spot for most of the set. And like, band members were looking at us, you know, we were having a really good time. It was super surreal to be there for the, you know, their first full show back. And yeah, we had a great time Wednesday night and then got home. You know, minds were blown. We were exhausted, but we both had work Thursday, you know, we both had work Friday, and then we turned around and went back to LA, had a hotel downtown, got in there Friday night, went to bed, basically. We got dinner, and then we went to bed, and then went to the beach next morning with my niece and my friend's son and daughter, who are a couple years older than my niece, but we all grew up together, me and my friend. He's got his 2 kids. My brother has a daughter who's in that neighborhood of age. And so they've been hanging out a little bit, and I got to, you know, see them all. They all call me Uncle Matt. So it was fun having all 3 of them were at the beach that me and my brother used to go to with my friend when we were kids. You know, our moms would take all 6 of us. There's 3 boys in each family, and they'd load us up in the big VW van and just take us down there. And, you know, we took the exact same van to the exact same beach, except we're the grownups now. So,
yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Full circle.
Yeah. That was a trip. And then, yeah, Slipknot crushed it. I'm sure a bunch of our listeners were there because they were just in Seattle and they played their first album in its entirety. That was at the brand new Clippers Arena, the Intuit Dome, which is like state-of-the-art, multi-billion-dollar stadium that Steve Ballmer built that has like awesome acoustics. It sounded killer. Slipknot always crushes it. And, you know, they sounded so good. Like, there's multiple times where I just had to close my eyes and be like, I can't believe how good I can hear everything. We had good seats on the floor. But it was like, the acoustics in that place that I had heard hyped up, like you can really appreciate when there's 9 dudes on stage doing a bunch of different things and you just tune out all the visuals and just like, whoa, I can hear every detail of this 9-piece maniac band and their like crazy album that came out in 1999. Like, that thing was so groundbreaking and like, you know, pivotal. So, they're one of my favorite bands of all time, but Iowa was the album that was like the big one for me. So just had a really good time checking out
Slipknot too. Like, I'm not gonna lie and say I'm the biggest Slipknot fan, but people should go to one of their shows if you get a chance. Their stay, it's unreal.
Gotta do it. It's so good.
Yeah. So they put on a good show.
Yeah. It was the wildest week I've had in a long time, for sure. Like, really? That whirlwind of the Linkin Park live stream finding out that they're having a tour, getting tickets, getting there, making the logistics work was like, whoa, dude. And yeah, to me, like, I forgot that it was about like 11 years. I was just like, we got too much stuff to handle to make this a reality. But now that we did, I'm like, that was tight, boys. That was a fun week.
Awesome. Yeah, right. I mean, a lot of driving, but once you're went, like, yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, so much running around, but like, yeah, I don't remember any of the drives now, you know?
Yeah. They only really suck when you're in the middle of them.
Yeah. Yeah, but the excitement was so high, and then coming back from Lincoln Park, the excitement's still high for the weekend. Coming back from the weekend, you know, it's just all gratitude and like wanting to get home in time to watch the Hawks game, which was also dope. Like,
that was home, a fun one.
Catching the second half, catching overtime, and being like, God damn, dude, let's do this.
That was a fun game to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to get my buddy back to the airport. So I went down to our friend's house that lives in Burien. Shout out to Stevie's Famous Pizza.
Oh.
It was that good. Little pricey, but I don't know. They have one called like a Normie McDonald pizza. And I mean, it had some good Italian meat that wasn't pepperoni, something else. And then because we got it to go for the second half, they gave us a little container of burrata. And then you put like little scoops of burrata on each slice. It was phenomenal.
Man.
That's posh.
It is. It was.
Was it mortadella?
No.
I can never see that on the West Coast for some reason.
The only person I know that doesn't remember, I was going to say, Matt might have been there. We came back from the river at the last meltdown. And like my buddy Rob was very specific. He's like getting supplies. He was like, you got to get mortadella. And I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. And then like when we had those grilled cheeses with the mortadella, it's like, all right, I get it. That's fair.
Yeah. Great call.
Dude, I think that was the same day that our friend that lives in Burien was talking about how great it is to have a friend in Burien because of its proximity to the airport. And yeah, that's super clutch to be able to just pop over there after the drive and be like, all right, it's game time. Let's get some pizza.
Yeah, right. Because it was a 10 a.m. flight. So we had like pre-ordered it the day before for 11:30. We figured we'd time it out at halftime. Like, it was a good day.
Wow. Well done. Wow.
Very well done. Ugh.
Well, speaking of time, I think it's about that time, Matt.
Cobb topic.
All right. We all go to a lot of live shows. Matt just went to a couple of awesome ones. I feel like actually he's always got fun ones going on. Austin City Limits is going to happen soon down in Austin. It's like right in our backyard. We live pretty much across the street. So been checking out some of the artists, and a lot of them will do shows in town afterwards. And I'm curious, which artist do you feel like has the most fun fan base? So feel free to email us. This is the Cobb topic this week. Email at thepodcast.com. Honestly, it's just fun. Like, which artist has the most fun fan base? Where you just go, you have a good time, the crowd is awesome. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, pop, like Taylor Swift fun. It could be like death metal fun, whatever. Just like where you have the most fun with the crowd itself, you know, good natured people, whatever. Ooh, so anyway, yeah, feel free to email us, email thepodcast.com. What artist has the most fun fan base?
Go ahead, Matt.
First one that comes to mind is, they got fun in the name, Five Alarm Funk. We've all seen them.
Yeah.
Summer Meltdown. And I've seen them at a bunch of club shows. I've traveled to see them. That is a fun night. On the metal side of things, locally to Seattle, although they've done international tours and stuff, but they're always about having a good time. They're always telling the fans and not to put up the devil horns, but to put up the thumbs up. And that would be the almighty two-piece known as Pound, starring Ted and my friend Ryan the Beard. They're super positive energy and absolutely mind-blowing musicianship to witness live.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Man, that's a little bit tougher with rock, but I would definitely put Grizz's crowd on there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always pretty that's good, a good vibes. Call.
Yeah, Grizz's crowd is good. Wow. Yeah. Honestly, the what's it called? Oh my God, I'm totally blanking. The Grateful Dead crowd was solid too, gotta say, at the Sphere.
Yeah, that Dead and Company crowd was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, even just like when Rob and I get there and we're at the wrong pool, like that first woman we talked to, I mean, she had to be 20 years older than us, and she was just like, no, I'm down here for the show. And we started trading stories, and there was some stand with like three little sips of a drink, and Rob and I were like, we're just gonna do it like a shooter. And she was like, well, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Den Company is a good show. I'm trying to think what else. Like, it's kind of a heavy band, but like, I was always amazed just the like kind of rough and tumble people that would come up to me when I'd wear a black Label Society hoodie. And it was like, you were in an MC that like, you don't need to ride a motorcycle in. People were always like super pumped, like, fuck yeah, Ted. Like, let's go. Like, all right. Yeah, I like these dudes.
Oh yeah, brother.
That's awesome.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Worn a lot of Black Label Society gear over the years. And yeah. Oh yeah. That was the thing. I was, Ted, I texted you. I'll say it here. I don't want to tweet it because things look worse on Twitter sometimes. But it was the day after the Linkin Park show, maybe 2 days before. Yeah. Or 2 days after. I was wearing my shirt from the show. I go into the dispensary. I go in, say what's up to the security guard. I've seen him once or twice, but we don't really know each other. He's a black dude. And I'm like, what's up? Can I go in this door? He's like, no, you got to go around the side. I'm like, cool. And I turn around. You can see Linkin Park from Zero World Tour on the back. He goes, hey, nice shirt, man. And I was just like, man, we're getting, I love a good compliment from the brothers. Like, it's nothing. Unless it's a female complimenting my anatomy, like those are the two biggest ego boosts I can get in a day.
Oh yeah. Walking on air.
Just flying down that hallway, like, thank you, man. It is a nice shirt.
I mean, that's fair. Good thing you didn't tweet it out from our account.
Right, right.
Written out, that would have looked bad.
Reading words about that? No, like, but yeah, people get it.
Oh, man. All right, well, there you go. Yeah, everybody's having adventures like normal. They say, I'm going to have an adventure as soon as we're done this. I'm walking over to that taco stand.
Dude.
Go get them, man. The blue tarp, yep, baby.
I'll send you a picture.
Give me an IG account. Yeah.
Something.
All right, boys, for MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers. Well, speaking of time, I think it's about that time, Matt.
Cobb topic.
All right, we all go to a lot of live shows. Matt just went to a couple of awesome ones. I feel like actually he's always got fun ones going on. Austin City Limits is going to happen soon down in Austin. It's like right in our backyard. We live pretty much across the street. So been checking out some of the artists, and a lot of them will do shows in town afterwards. And I'm curious, which artist do you feel like has the most fun fan base? So feel free to email us. This is the Cobb topic this week. Email at thepodcast.com. Honestly, it's just fun. Like, which artist has the most fun fan base where you just go, you have a good time, the crowd is awesome. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, pop, like Taylor Swift fun. It could be like death metal fun, whatever. Just like where you have the most fun with the crowd itself, you know, good natured people, whatever. Ooh, so anyway, yeah, feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com. What artist has the most fun fan base?
Go ahead, Matt.
First one that comes to mind is, they got fun in the name, Five Alarm Funk. We've all seen them.
Yeah.
Summer Meltdown. And I've seen them in a bunch of club shows. I've traveled to see them. That is a fun night. On the metal side of things, locally to Seattle, although they've done international tours and stuff, but they're always about having a good time. They're always telling the fans and not to put up the devil horns, but to put up the thumbs up. And that would be the almighty two-piece known as Pound, starring Ted and my friend Ryan the Beard. They're super positive energy and absolutely mind-blowing musicianship to witness live.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Man, that's a little bit tougher with rock, but I would definitely put Grizz's crowd on there.
Yeah.
That's always pretty
that's
good
a
vibes.
Good call. Yeah, Grizz's crowd is good. Wow. Yeah. Honestly, what's it called? Oh my God, I'm totally blanking. The Grateful Dead crowd was solid too, gotta say, at the Sphere.
Yeah, that Dead and Company crowd was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, even just like when Rob and I get there and we're at the wrong pool. Like that first woman we talked to, I mean, she had to be 20 years older than us. And she was just like, no, I'm down here for the show. And we started trading stories. And there was some stand with like three little sips of a drink. And Rob and I were like, we're just going to do it like a shooter. And she was like, well, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Den Company is a good show. I'm trying to think what else. Like, it's kind of a heavy, heavy band, but like, I was always amazed just the like kind of rough and tumble people that would come up to me when I'd wear a black Label Society hoodie. And it was like you were in an MC that like you don't need to ride a motorcycle in. People were always like super pumped, like, fuck yeah, Ted. Like, let's go. Like, all right. Yeah, I like these dudes.
Oh, yeah, brother.
That's awesome.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Worn a lot of Black Label Society gear over the years. And yeah. Oh yeah, that was the thing. I was Ted. I texted you. I'll say it here. I don't want to tweet it because things look worse on Twitter sometimes. But I was. It was the day after the Linkin Park show. Maybe 2 days before. Yeah, or 2 days after. I was wearing my shirt from the show. I go into the dispensary. I go in, say what's up to the security guard. I've seen him once or twice, but we don't really know each other. He's a black dude. And I'm like, what's up? Can I go in this door? He's like, no, you got to go around the side. I'm like, cool. And I turn around. You can see Linkin Park from Zero World Tour on the back. He goes, hey, nice shirt, man. And I was just like, man, we're getting, I love a good compliment from the brothers. Like, it's nothing, unless it's a female complimenting my anatomy. Like, those are the two biggest ego boosts I can get in a day.
Oh, yeah. Walking on air.
Just flying down that hallway like, thank you, man, it is a nice shirt.
I mean, that's fair. Good thing you didn't tweet it out from our account.
Right.
Written out, that would have looked bad.
Reading words about that, no, like, but yeah, people get it.
Oh man, all right, well, there you go. Yeah, everybody's having adventures like normal. They say, I'm going to have an adventure as soon as we're done this. I'm walking over to that taco stand.
Dude.
Go get them, man. The blue tarp, baby. Me.
I'll send you a picture.
Give me an IG account. Yeah.
Something.
All right, boys. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.